Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to get rid of the Republicans. Their time has come. You know, they are done. They are done. It is time for a third party to rise up.
They're putting their hashtag on going on there and showing how we're making a change on social justice and all this. Look, this has got to stop. And it seems so phony to me.
So obviously that has nothing to do with Islam, right, Jimmy?
No, not at all. Not at all, dude. It doesn't make any sense to me how that's tied together.
It has nothing to do with the people, Islamic people, at all. Whew, that was a close one. That was close. I was almost on the bandwagon of just saying, hey, I hate all Muslims. But nope, it has nothing to do with it. We need justice for Bat Fleck. We need to get to the bottom of who decided to cast Ben Affleck as Batman. We need congressional hearings, I think, because this is a crime against humanity. It's kind of sort of refreshing to actually have some racism involved here. It's kind of refreshing, you know?
Stuff things, words.
Damn, dogs. Oh, God, I hate them. Oh, man.
You are listening to Arms' Way with Ryan Hawes.
All right, hello, and welcome, everybody, to episode 66 of Arms' Way with me. I am, of course, your humble drunkard from afar. My name is Ryan Harms. This is Arms' Way. It's my way. All that awesomeness. There's a few things to talk about tonight. But first, given that, you know, I'm the huge Batmasturbator, all that, a lover of everything and all things Batman, blah, figured I'd start off with this. Just a couple of days ago, I rewatched Batman, I saw Batman v Superman for the second time, and I think I might have enjoyed it more. That's not to say that all the faults aren't still in the movie. Everything that's wrong with the movie is still there, you know. However, one big thing that I absolutely hated my first watching, actually kind of enjoyed a little bit. I mean, I still didn't love it, but and that's Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I guess this time around it wasn't that big of a shock or something at just how horrible it is. And that, now with eyes going into it, knowing what he did and everything, it wasn't as, like, horrible. I was able to enjoy it more, I guess. And overall, that's generally the whole deal with the entire movie, honestly. All of the things that are terrible about it, I was able to look past. Or not necessarily look past, because like I said, they're all still there. You know, or now that I knew, anyways, what I could expect, watching it a second time was, a lot more enjoyable. Also, there's this thing, there's a theory going around the interwebs about, one of those dream sequences. It was almost a dream within a dream. Thanks, Chris Nolan and all that. But, it all has to do with that. What I said was something that didn't make sense. It was like a dream within a dream, all that. Some magnetic electric guy talking. And then Bruce woke up again. And whatever. Obviously, I didn't understand it at the time. Because when you watch it, if you knew nothing about it, watching it opening night, and you're like me, I guess. I don't know. Whatever like me is, but By the way, this is spoilers. Obviously, we're going into spoiler territory now. So, whatever. Sorry I didn't give you a heads up before that. Trigger warnings, stuff, things. But it all has to do with the dream sequences here, this theory that's going around. I believe it's called the Nightmare Theory. At least that's one thing that I've seen, the Nightmare Theory. I don't know if it's actually given this official title yet, but one theory that I saw had to do with the Flash and that whole electrified man thing. Apparently it really is the Flash. He went back in time at some point. Even says, what, did I come too soon? I came too soon. Bruce, you have to find us. Stuff, things, blah. Theory that I saw, it seemed as though, what the theory was explaining was that whole sequence where Flash comes back, appears in front of Bruce in a dream within a dream type thing, looking like, essentially what happened there is right before it is the nightmare. You know, you've got the Omega symbol, destruction world things happening. And parademons, dark side-ness. Batman's in the desert, or what appears to be the desert, getting jumped by Superman soldiers. All that, and it's all injustice. Superman comes down, you're my world. She was my world, and you took her from me. Then he, like, rips out his heart or something that's not really seen. Anyways, it's all injustice. And then right after that, boom, Flash is there. Bruce, blah, you're right about him. You fear him, Bruce, fear him, yeah. Did I come too soon? I came too soon. Find us, Bruce, Lois Lane's the key, Bruce. So the theory is that the nightmare of Darkseid, Omega, injustice things happening, the theory is that is something that happened. Is an alternate future. But since Flash went back in time and just gave Bruce that little message, blah, fear him, blah, came too soon, blah, find us, Bruce, find us. The whole future's changed now. Which would be awesome, because number one, we don't need an Injustice storyline. We don't need it. As horrible as this Superman has been written thus far, you know, arguably horrible. I mean, I did enjoy Man of Steel very much. Personally, my favorite superhero movie. And I did enjoy Batman v Superman. But still, I understand all the arguments against this Superman. And so, an Injustice storyline, especially just right after he's going to, again, spoiler, again, since he's going to be coming right off of, like, coming back from the dead, doing Injustice right away and killing off Lois Lane right away, all of that is just, they're really jumping, not a shark, but jumping the gun, is that the term? They're really just doing all these storylines and getting rid of them. I mean, it's like Angry Joe said. I mean, I'm not that big of a fan of Angry Joe. I mean, who the hell that is over the age of 10 years old can watch and Angry Joe like skit. You know, he does a little skit to introduce a review or something, or during the review. Who the hell doesn't just cringe when they watch that? They're over the age of like 10. But whatever. Angry Joe said in his review of Batman v Superman, but what's the point? Superman can't die now. No matter what, we all already saw him die. So what threat is there? He's never going to be able to die. This is totally true. Again, there are still tons and tons of problems with Batman v Superman. Yes. But it is still a very enjoyable movie, in my opinion. But yes, I just thought that this theory was interesting. That the Flash going back in time changed that Injustice storyline. Hopefully, there's at least a glimpse of hope that it's not going to come to that. Because Henry Cavill, there are moments in Man of Steel, and especially in Dawn of Justice, even though he's really mopey and sad, and why gotta be Superman? He's like, they're trying to turn him into Spider-Man or something. Something I said about Deadpool, whatever. What am I trying to say here? There are moments in both of the Henry Cavill Superman movies. Batman v Superman is far from a Superman movie. In which there are moments where you can tell that this guy has got the absolute best chops to be Superman. You know? He is someone that's... There is a great Superman portrayal in him. Even though his hair never gets messed up in any fight ever. Let's see that as a thing. So that's just a whatever funny little detraction thing. I am looking forward to so much from this DC universe. There's so much to look forward to. Solo Batman movies. Hell, I'm really interested in Wonder Woman. Just how fantastic Gal Gadot was. Yes, a solo, hopefully Batfleck-directed series of movies will be fantastic. So long as they don't do Under the Red Hood story. Check out the YouTube channel for my rant on that. What is it? Just search Ryan Strunk, one word. And the second result is the channel on YouTube. There's a rant about Jason Todd. Hopefully they don't go that route with the movie. Solo Batman, I mean, it's, There is so much to look forward to. Again, there's something awesome about Henry Cavill as Batman, or Superman. There are moments where you can tell that there's this awesome Superman portrayal that's coming. We just haven't had it yet. I mean, I would argue that you did have a great Superman portrayal in Man of Steel. But I understand why others would feel otherwise. But anyways, enough about all that. I got an audio clip here to play. 10 minutes long. And it is much more worth the watch than it is the listen, especially since it hasn't been edited in any way, shape, or form. But it's awesome. This is a sneak peek of the upcoming Killing Joke animated movie, the audio of it. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's on YouTube. Check it out. Sneak peek, Killing Joke, animated movie, stuff, things, words. Take a listen. Listen, takers.
He's been in custody for 2 years.
He'll confess.
He's insane. It's a mistake to think you know what he'll do.
Well, what's interesting about doing the Killing Joke right now, this is like literally the third time we've even mooted the idea of actually doing the Killing Joke.
It was one of these stories that has always sort of been on the table, but again, because the subject matter is so shocking, I think, especially in this day and age, there was always a problem, do we do it or not?
I think some of what helps the Killing Joke is obviously the pedigree of the comic itself, but the pedigree of the people who are working on it. These are the Batman the Animated Series creators.
This is not a comic book. This is not something that guys wearing long johns should be doing. It was really shocking, and to this day it's still shocking. But the effect the comic had on the Joker as a character in mass media, it all kind of started with the Killing Joke.
Batman and Joker are these sort of fractured reflections of each other. They both were born from tragedy. And one went one way and one went the other way.
Obviously, the Joker was the perfect guy to hold up that mirror to Batman. And this is a pretty sophisticated take on that.
All these years, and I don't know who he is any more than he knows who I am.
Are you sure of that?
What do you mean?
I mean, don't underestimate him.
The Killing Joke is probably one of the most famous graphic novels from the 80s. And part of it, you know, is the origin story of the Joker. I had read that Alan Moore had talked about this just being an Elseworld story, but because the story is so riveting and shocking, I think a lot of people took Joker's origins and sort of made it canon.
One of the main thrusts of the Killing Joke is a series of flashbacks that the Joker is remembering about how he actually became the Joker, his literal one bad day.
I find the past such a worrying, anxious place.
Well, I think, you know, the concept of characters having a bad day, obviously Bruce Wayne had a bad day early on. And the Joker, you know, he makes one bad decision in his life and it affects his entire future.
Memories can be vile, repulsive little brutes, like children, no?
And I think Joker's point is there's all these ideals that you uphold. There's all these things that you want. There's all these dreams that you imagine. But what happens when it doesn't work out for you? What happens if you have just one bad day?
Any person, any just regular Joe on the street, if they have one bad day, if it's bad enough, they can become as bad as the Joker. Visually, this movie was a real challenge. I mean, it's always a challenge when we're adapting something from a comic that's as famous as this one is.
It's so realistic that it would be a nightmare to animate.
There's some things that work in a comic that don't work at cinema. So you always have to kind of like, you know, try to keep the truth of it or keep the spirit of the comic. For this particular comic, Brian Bolland's artwork is so gorgeous that when you're reading the comic, you can at least kind of go, well, at least I've got pretty pictures to look at while I'm reading this horrible story. It's so beautifully drawn. It's so his draftsmanship is just spectacular. But his art style is a real huge challenge for us.
And I think we kind of came up with a sort of a hybrid style. Because the Bolland style is so realistic and so detailed, we tried to look at maybe something else that sort of felt a little bit like his. So we looked at Imperium, Kevin Nolan's art style, we looked at, because we kind of felt like it was a stripped down version enough, but it was animatable.
It's a good approximation of it. Every now and then I'll see a drawing and go, wow, that's a really good Joker drawing. That actually kind of reminds me of Brian Bolland, or that's a really good Batman drawing that looks like a Brian Bolland drawing. And so we kind of went from Bolland to Kevin Nolan to stripped down even further to animation.
Barbara, take it easy. It's okay.
No, no, it's not okay.
So I think we kind of came up with a pretty good balance to try to get the Bolland style.
We thought, well, how can we make it a full-length feature? How can we expand the story without kind of just padding it? So the idea that we came up with was to create basically a prequel to the story.
It was smart to come up with the prologue idea, which I think it was really important to show Batgirl in action in this story, just to get a sense of who she was.
The audience gets to spend more time with Barbara Gordon as a person before the events of The Killing Joke. We get to like her more, we get to understand who she is as a character.
She wasn't just somebody's daughter. She was somebody who mattered to Gotham City, and Batman in particular.
Selfish, vile, hateful, garbage!
The Killing Joke is definitely a much more of a pinpoint story between Batman and his most famous antagonist.
The Joker is trying to prove to Batman that there's really not that much that separates them.
I think everybody can relate to a tragedy that has happened in their life, or something in their life that happens that makes them go down a certain path. These are two characters that have gone down extreme paths. They were almost born in a similar way, yet they've chosen two very dark but different paths.
In every version of Batman that's translated to film or animation, the Joker is his constant opposite.
I've always been somebody that was really more interested in sort of the like characterization and what makes this person who they are. Why do they do what they do, and what is the path that they're on? And that's why I love, you know, the story of the heroes. You know, that's why I love superhero stories.
You're not like I am, Barbara. It's still a game for you, still a thrill.
Obviously, it is a big deal to get the Batman the Animated Series cast back together again.
I'm going to ask you politely, one last time. Where is he?
23 years later, I'm still doing the role, which is pretty amazing.
How dare you! I'm in this because of you!
Every time I see Batgirl in my schedule, I'm like, oh, that's so fun. I still get excited. I mean, I love what I do, which is why I do it.
I want him brought in. And I want it done by the book.
This is a much darker story than I think the previous films showed, and in this one Commissioner Gordon goes through quite a bit to get to the end of the story.
Finish the commission, take him where he needs to be, and please do be careful. After all, he is topping the bill.
Every time I do this part, I let the script tell me what kind of Joker he needs to be.
Mark loves the comic. He, you know, at times when he's been tired of playing the Joker, and you know, he said, oh, I'm not sure I'd ever want to play the Joker again unless they did the Killing Joke, then I'd come back for the Killing Joke.
If people want to see a really nasty, vile Joker, this is the one.
I'm crazy for it.
I don't know where that voice comes from, deep inside Mark's head, but it's uncanny, and it to an entire generation of people, that's what the Joker sounds like.
Ah, here they are now.
It's a piece of conviction. I mean, it's a story that starts with a point. It's a story that makes its point. And it doesn't shy away from, especially at the time, you know, the comics code limitations.
When we actually got this movie out on the floor this time and got it recorded and design work and storyboarding, it kind of dawned on me that nowadays it might not even get an R rating. We could probably do this movie straight up, be a very faithful adaptation of the comic without toning anything down, we might get a PG-13. We really don't know.
I do think that that element of shock value is important when you're dealing with characters like the Joker and Batman. At that time, it was already 40 years that Batman and the Joker have been dancing. And it did show you how far it could go.
The nature of the story is so unlike a traditional Batman movie.
This well that people draw from, you know, creatively.
It has defined a lot of the Batman and Joker confrontation since then.
The Killing Joke, coming out this summer. Animated Blu-ray DVD awesomeness. Now, one thing you got to credit DC and Warner Brothers for is their animated movies, which are absolutely fantastic. Even though, personal taste here for me, hate me, slay me, whatever. We went over this last week. Something, I forget what I was on about last week, but I talked about it last week. They look more and more anime-like, which pisses me off, but whatever. Oh, well. Stuff things words. Awesomeness. Killing Joke. Gotta be amazing. I am curious about the Batgirl bit that they're adding into it. Although, from what, you know, the little bit that they show there, it looks fantastic in and of itself. So, we'll see. Like I said, I'm just curious about it, about the Batgirl bit. Either way, I'm sure it's going to be fantastic, especially with all the, well, mostly the core cast returning from the animated series. Hamill. Oh, God, why is his name? Conroy. Kevin Conroy. And I don't know who the voice actress of Batgirl. I don't know her name, but apparently it's the same woman from, same actress from the animated series as well. Looks fantastic, though. Awesome. Because, I mean, it has to be. There's no world in which they could mess that up. But whatever. Stuff, things, words. Coming up after the break, you're talking about WrestleMania, my thoughts on it. Plus, also coming up on the show, we'll go over the Walking Dead season finale, stuff, things, words, awesomeness. More Harms of the Way is coming at you just after all this. 760-539-3247 or click the Skype button at the top of the page. More is coming at you just after all this.
From Amazon, number 1,772,434th best-selling author, comes his long-awaited, unabashed sequel. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read.
And the butchery begins.
With a brilliantly written foreword by Travis Bevan that is worth the price of purchase alone.
Now I have something I can work with.
For only $3.99, get the sequel to The Drunken Diaries. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read. Get it on your Kindle device today.
Yeah, bitch!
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Golf Tournament Quiet Sign Holder Upper.
Mr. Golf Tournament Quiet Sign Holder Upper.
Boldly you patrol the line between order and anarchy, armed with only your wits, your resolve, and your tiny cardboard sign stapled to a stick.
Actually, I glued it on.
You protect professional golfers from what they fear most. Idle chit-chat 200 yards away.
Stop breathing so loud now.
Because you know there's one thing this spectator sport could really do without. Spectators.
Get them out.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Sultan of the Shush. We'll keep singing your praises as long as you keep telling us to shut up.
Mr. Golf, Cinnamon, Quiet, Sign, Holder Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's a new day in America. Today, more people will go to work, return home to their families, and sleep more soundly than ever before. All because one man refuses to settle, putting people before politics. That man is Frank Underwood.
America, I'm only getting started. I'm Frank Underwood, and I approve this message.
Today is a day for truth. The world needs to know what happened and to know what he stands for. That kind of power is very dangerous. Let the record show that this committee holds him responsible.
That's how it starts. The fever. The rage that turns good men cruel.
This bat vigilante is like a one-man reign of terror. You don't get to decide what the right thing is. Nobody cares about Clark Kent taking on the Batman.
This means something. It's all some people have. It's all that gives them hope.
People hate what they don't understand. Be their hero, Clark. Be their angel. Be their monument. Be anything they need you to be. Or be none of it. You don't owe this world a thing. You never did.
Do you know the oldest lie in America, Senator?
The devils don't come from hell beneath us.
They come from the sky.
20 years in Gotham, how many good guys are left? How many stayed that way?
He has the power to wipe out the entire human race. And we have to destroy him.
You're gonna go to war.
He is not our enemy.
Black and blue. God versus man. Day versus night.
The red capes are coming. The red capes are coming.
One last thing about Batman v Superman before we discuss WrestleMania here. The DVD Blu-ray releases, there's talk of a R-rated director's cut, if you will. Most likely that will answer a few questions, probably not all, but a few. Some questions that so many people have. Zack Snyder, when he did Watchmen, the director's cut, which was like almost 3.5 hours long or something ridiculous like that, it was so much better than the theatrical version, although it didn't really add all that much to it, but it was still just way better. Just really quickly, a rant about long movies. What the hell is wrong with you people? Why the hell don't you want to see a long movie? You're spending how much money for a movie ticket, and yet you don't want the longest, the best experience possible? What the hell's wrong with you? Seriously, I would love all movies to be 3 hours long. Seriously. Especially if I'm going to see it in a movie theater. Get out with that. But whatever. I mean, if it's a long, boring movie, I'd understand, but Batman v Superman is far from boring. I mean, sure, there are some boring parts, some, but they're very, very select. I mean, if you're bored watching Batman v Superman, there's something wrong with you, like deep inside of your soul. But anyway, okay. WrestleMania happened this Sunday, and it was like the longest wrestling event ever, at least, you know. Before choreographed matches and such happened. And I pretty much, all my predictions that I made on my YouTube channel, of course, just search Ryan's Drunk, one word, you can find that there. I was damn near wrong on all of them. I went 3 for 8. 3 for 8. Is that right? Let me count that again. Let me count all the ones that I got wrong. 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 3 for 8. And that's right, it's the Rock match that keeps throwing me off. Because the Rock match really doesn't count. Anyways, we'll discuss all of that. Let's see, first of all, there was Kalisto and Ryback, which was a match I didn't even watch, because who wants to watch that? But I was correct. Kalisto did win. And of course, this is all pre-show, by the way. Team Total Divas. God, I'm so sick of this. Team blah, blah, blah. Team. I'm surprised it's not Team League of Nations, Team New Day, Team Total Divas defeated Team Bad and Blonde. Team, because team. People, when they're together, they're a team. So team everything, team. Team Total Divas defeated Team Bad and Blonde. Which was another match that I got right. And then it's just downhill. Like, every single match is wrong. Again, another match that I didn't care about because Much Divas, Such Revolution. Although it's funny that they gave this match the longest amount of time on the pre-show anyways. But whatever. Okay. You're so progressive, WWE. Good job. I mean, you'd think that, like, a title match for the U.S. Championship would be longer than just a randomly thrown together 10 Divas tag match thing. Or, I'm sorry, now they're 10 superstar. Much progressive. Yeah, awesome. Good job, WWE. Anyways, next up, the Usos defeated Team Dudley Boys. Team Usos defeated Team Dudley Boys. Another match I really didn't watch because why would you? Then there was the ladder match. One of the best matches of the night. Especially the ending of it, which I don't know how SmackDown turned out, but going to some rants later. Well, whatever. Zack Ryder won the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleFreakingMania. Who the hell saw that coming? Like, seriously, sure, they gave him a win over Jericho the Raw before, just to at least build him up a little bit. The guy hasn't been on Raw other than a quick squash match or two since, like, 2000, what, 11, 12, 13? Somewhere in there. But yeah, Zack Ryder. Not Snyder, which these sources claim Zack Ryder is often confused with Zack Snyder. But anyways, I digress. Yes, he won the 7-man ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. Chris Jericho defeated AJ Styles, which was a bit of a sleeper match. It was fine, I suppose. Just a odd victory there. Team League of Nations defeated Team New Day somehow, for some reason. Apparently it was a 6-man tag match. Again, I didn't really watch this one. I was too busy making nachos. But afterwards, there was an awesome moment with Mick Foley, Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold Steve Austin all destroying Team League of Nations. team. We're all a bunch of teamsters. Yeah. There totally needs to be a stable called the Teamsters. Oh man, anyway, 760-539-3247. Or click the Skype button at the top of the page. Brock Lesnar defeated Dean Ambrose in a no holds barred street fight that lasted 13 minutes and was pretty pointless. Like, seriously, nothing about anything was worthwhile. They hit each other with a couple of candlesticks for a while. Like, none of the weapons that Foley or Terry Funk gave Dean Ambrose came into play at all. I mean, they came into play, but they weren't used. All the weapons that Dean collected from Raw, you know, the Raw before WrestleMania, he didn't even bring that card out or anything. That was just a whole waste of, like, 2 minutes of your life if you watch Raw the week before Mania. So, that happened. And Brock Lesnar defeats Ambrose for some reason. I mean, it makes sense because, you know, he's Brock Lesnar and stuff, but whatever. Charlotte defeated Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks for the Women's Championship. Now, last week on the show, and hell, even in my predictions video stuff things, I've always said that I'm not a fan of women's wrestling. I'm just not. It doesn't do anything for me. It's never titillated me. Well, can't say that because, you know, the Attitude Era existed. When I was much younger and much dumber and full of cummer, whatever. I'll say this. I really did enjoy the match. But this whole, hey, they're superstars. Everyone's superstars now. I mean, cool, get rid of the term diva, I guess. That's fine. But, I don't know. There's something rubbing me the wrong way about this whole thing. Maybe it's just the whole, check out how progressive we are, mainstream media. We're awesome. And progressivism always rubs me the wrong way. So, whatever. Either way, this match was damn near one of the best matches of the night. If it wasn't for the Hell in a Cell match, Undertaker, Shane McMahon, good times with weapons. Amazing. It was a spot that we all knew was coming, and thankfully it did. Shane jumped off the top of the cell. First time that's ever happened. Someone jumped off the top of the cell to, like, attack their opponent, whatever, do an elbow drop onto the table. First time it's ever happened. It was awesome. Just the whole psychology of the match, you know, Shane afterwards, after crashing through the table and stuff, missing Taker, all that, Shane gets back on his knees and's like, come on, come on, give it to me, whatever. Then they get back in the ring. He does it again. Undertaker pats him on the head, gives him the tombstone, and wins. The only thing that really sucks about this, I mean, it's good that, you know, Shane McMahon didn't beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, but, I mean, it's not as if it's a huge deal anymore since the streak was wasted on Brock Lesnar, but... I don't know. It's a damn good time. Watch it. Stuff. Things. Words. The thing that sucks is that it doesn't progress any sort of storyline or anything. It could have been something awesome happening, but apparently Shane just wanted to do this one favor for his dad and take his ball and go home or whatever. I mean, not so selfish like that, but still, stuff things worse. Baron Corbin won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. The only thing that's good about this is that the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal should be something that builds future stars, not just gives the Big Show a win for some odd reason. EDP was in the match, and he seemed to look better than he did in that surprise Royal Rumble entry. Like, the first bump that he took in that Royal Rumble a couple of years ago, I mean, it was the total Ron Burgundy moment. You could see it on his face. I immediately regret this decision. But he actually looked pretty good out there. Tatanka was also in the match. So was Shaquille O'Neal. Yay. So I guess Shaquille O'Neal is about as good as a WWF, WWE, WCW superstar wrestler person thing, because he lasted pretty much the same amount of time as Big Show. They were both eliminated at the same time. Whatever. Just interesting. But yes, Baron Corbin, whatever. Excuse me, yawn. Lack of sleep happening. I'm not a huge fan of NXT or anything. But from the little bits and pieces that I have seen on it, of it, anyways, Baron Corbin has been my least favorite aspect of the show. So I'll just throw that out there. Then there's like a 40-minute Rock Bray Wyatt segment, or Wyatt family segment, which was good. It was good. It was good. Whatever. stuff, things, words. It was awesome, you know, the back and forth with Wyatt and Rock. But then it turns into this 6-second match with Rock against Eric Rowan, which was kind of cool. I mean, it appeared to be Rock versus Bray Wyatt, but since apparently Wyatt's a bit injured or something happening, no. And thank God, in retrospect now, because they just wanted to have this match to set another WrestleMania record, which, by the way, this WrestleMania did set a record for the attendance record, 101,000, over 101,000. I think it was 101,753, I think. That's the number that it was. Totally pulled that out of my ass. Let me check this Wikipedia page that I'm on. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. 6 seconds in front to match. Oh, damn. I almost Rain Man myself. It was 101,763.
Oh,
damn, I was so close to being Rain Man. That would have been pretty cool, right? Anyways, okay. Yes, The Rock defeats Eric Rowan. 6 seconds. Set some sort of Mania record or something, which was the initial point of the, the sacrilegious Sheamus Daniel Bryan match from WrestleMania 28. They were trying to set the Mania record then, but it didn't happen. But now they did. 6 seconds, The Rock defeats Eric Rowan. And, I mean, what's the point of being a fan of the Wyatt family at this point, right? I mean, seriously. If you're like me and you're a fan of the Wyatt family, what's the point? Holy shit. Boy. The main event, Roman Reigns versus Triple H, wasn't a notice disqualification match, as had been kind of whatever talked about or something. It ran for 27 minutes, just 3 minutes shy of Undertaker and Shane McMahon. I wonder why watching that match lasted eternity. But the pre-show and everything, I think the show was like 5 hours long. That's just insane. But whatever. So tired. Anyways, stuff, things, words. Amazing, awesomeness, things, stuff. Not really, because it's Roman Reigns and Triple H. Main event of WrestleMania, the main event nobody wanted to see, but was shoved down our throats. And with the victor that nobody wanted to see, but was shoved down our throats again, Roman Reigns defeats Triple H for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship to an enormous amount of boos, even though apparently a lot of it was muted. There was lots of people bitching about that, but especially those in attendance and then watch show on the network or whatever. They were pissed off for being muted. Although I'd say it was pretty loud from what I heard. No one was a fan of seeing that. However, it didn't cause World War III. Or did it? It didn't cause World War III as I predicted in my WrestleMania predictions video. There weren't riots in the streets of Dallas. Europeans weren't rioting, and hopefully I'll be wrong about the President Trump thing that I also mentioned in my predictions video about this match. So, I mean, I was wrong about most everything else. Hopefully I'm wrong about that. Watch the video if you want to know what I'm on about. Stuff, things, words. WrestleMania, was it good? Was it bad? Was it horrible? Was it amazing? It was just pretty meh, I would say. It was the best that WWE could do, given all the injuries. And the whole Cena and Rock thing, I neglected to mention this, but after Rock beats Rowan, Wyatt family's jumping for a bit, and then Cena's back, and he's like, oh, my shoulder's fine because I'm Superman, duh. And him and Rock are hugging and shaking hands and pretending like 2011 to 2013 never happened. So, yeah. What was really sad was the post-Mania Raw. We'll go into that just after the break. 760-539-3247 or the Skype button at the top of the page. More Harm's His Way is coming at you just after all of this.
Get the Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. Available exclusively on Kindle. For only $2.99. Wait, only $2.99?
You're goddamn right.
That's the Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. On Kindle. Buy it today.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So this bud's for you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
I'm the world's worst cleaning lady. Cleanliness was supposed to be my middle name. But then my parents settled on Janet. Now, I'm here in your home having a pretty spectacular Tuesday.
But I don't notice the loose rug at the top of your stairs.
And that's about to become an issue for me.
And if you've got the wrong home insurance coverage, my medical bills could get expensive. So get Allstate. Rage and help keep you protected from mayhem.
Like me.
Good hands, good home. Make sure you have the right home protection. Talk to an Allstate agent.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Silent Killer Gas Passer.
Mr. Silent Killer Gas Passer.
Last night you had the enchilada combo platter. This morning, the three cheese omelet with broccoli. This afternoon, you're a ticking time bomb. Because of you, a simple elevator ride is suddenly a 42-floor plummet into the very bowels of hell.
You take my breath away.
Who did it? Who cares? Sweet mercy, please just someone light a match. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh ninja of the nasty. And while you're at it, crack open a window.
Mr. Silent Killer Gas Passer.
Time to get rid of the Republicans. The time has come. You know, they are done. They are done. It is time for a third party to rise up.
They're putting their hashtag on going on there and showing how we're making a change on social justice and all this. Look, this has got to stop. And it seems so phony to me.
So obviously that has nothing to do with Islam, right, Jimmy?
No, not at all, obviously. Not at all, dude. It doesn't make any sense to me how that's tied together.
It has nothing to do with the people, Islamic people, at all. Whew, that was a close one. That was close. I was almost on the bandwagon of just saying, hey, I hate all Muslims. But nope, it has nothing to do with it. We need justice for Fat Fleck. We need to get to the bottom of who decided to cast Ben Affleck as Batman. We need congressional hearings, I think, because this is a crime against humanity. It's kind of sort of refreshing to actually have some racism involved here. It's kind of refreshing, you know?
Stuff things, words.
Damn, dogs. Oh, God, I hate them. Oh, man.
You are listening to Arms' Way with Ryan and Hobbs.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 760-539-3247, or click the Skype button at the top of the page if you've got thoughts, comments, or concerns about anything that I've talked about tonight, from Batman v. Superman to WrestleMania to now the post-WrestleMania Raw. I don't think I'm going to spend too much time on this just because it was very, very underwhelming. I mean, right from the get-go, the announcers, especially JBL, I'm sure they're told to do this. The rug's pulled right from out from under you, and he's all like, hey, don't worry about it. This is a very impassioned crowd. They normally boo who they would normally cheer. They cheer for who they normally boo. Man, it's all about fun. It's bad. We're not about voices. It's not about people that are actually upset about what we're doing. It's just about fun. Oh my God, Michael, what about something about Stan Hansen? So, and I mean, he has to do that a couple of times, especially when Roman Reigns comes out, and the boos sound a lot louder than WrestleMania, I'll admit that, but I mean, the whole crowd was louder than the crowd was at WrestleMania, period, at least on television. I don't know. There's something about the arenas that are huge, excuse me, which you can't really hear how loud the crowd is. It's weird. I don't know. Whatever. Stuff things worse. Oh my God, Michael, they're having fun! And apparently the biggest baby face of the whole entire show was a beach ball. Dolph Ziggler went out there and jobbed to somebody. I forget who. For some reason, Zack Snyder. That was on purpose. But Zack Ryder defended his Intercontinental Championship against The Miz right away. And then The Miz won. Like, oh my God, why? Why are you doing this to me? You're going to push the guy at WrestleMania and then just have him lose The Miz right away. What's the point? Just have Miz win the fucking title. Idiots. God. Whatever. Stuff things worse. Maybe Ryder won it back on SmackDown tonight. I mean, it's doubtful, but maybe that happens. The main event of Raw was awesome, though, of course. Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho versus the returning Cesaro. Sami Zayn was supposed to be in the match but was injured because of a powerbomb through a table. It's not like anything worse happened to him at WrestleMania the night before. Whatever. It's awesome to have Cesaro have that moment. Yeah. Stuff and things and words and things and stuff. The winner of that match, the Fatal 4-Way main event, would be named number one contender for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And to the whole entire IWC's collective shock, AJ Styles won. Which means we're getting AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns. One would presume that it's happening at Extreme Rules, but who knows? We'll find out. We'll find more, Jinqui. I don't know, man. The Raw after WrestleMania wasn't that good. It wasn't. Especially the whole Zack Ryder thing. I mean, sure, Maurice was there for a bit. That was kind of awesome, but not at all. Just because it led to Ryder losing. Why, man? Why would you have him win and then lose? Ryder, it makes no sense. It makes sense, man. Throughout my whole predictions video, my WrestleMania predictions video, just watch it because why not? Especially since I'm referencing it now and spoilering. At least I'm not search engineing. throughout the whole thing, I said, well, yeah, blah, blah, blah is going to win because that's what makes sense. If you're going to give that awesome moment to Ryder winning the Intercontinental Championship, why the hell does he lose it the next night? Makes sense, man. Please just make sense. That's all that I'm asking for. It's still real to me, damn it. Oh, whatever, man. Main event was awesome. AJ Styles winning is awesome. Number one contender for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Facing Roman Reigns. Awesome stuff, things, words. Boom. Now it's time to talk about a little something that happened also this past Sunday. There's a little television show called... really? So I guess that doesn't exist anymore. Try it again. Nope. All right. Doesn't exist anymore. Anyways, that's to do with a little sub-show television program called The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead had a season finale. Season what? Six? Seven? Yeah, seven. Right? Oh, God, this is driving me nuts. How many seasons has The Walking Dead had? Walking Dead has had how many seasons? I need to know. 'Cause I need a hero. I'm extremely tired. I don't know if you know that. I'm more tired than I am drunk. I've had quite a bit to drink, but it's kind of an awkward thing because, like, I get all excited and alcohol doesn't slow me down, really. I mean, sure, sometimes I pass out or whatever, but it's not like most people, oh my God, I'm so tired because I'm drunk now. Okay. It appears that it is season 7. Yeah. Season 7. did the math in my head. Just shut up. All right, anyways, yes, awesomeness. Season 7, Walking Dead. Season finale, stuff, things, words, amazing. Everyone's pissed off. And I don't know why. Oh, my God. I need to know right now. Who is it that's dead? Now, lots of people are saying that it sucks because it's a stunt. There is one way in which this ends up being a stunt, and that is if the one recruiter dude from Alexandria is the one that dies. If he is the one that dies, then I am totally with you. This totally sucks. Think they, the writers do know better than that. It's going to be someone important to you that's killed at the end of this season finale. Spoiler, 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 spoiler. I mean, it's not, it's a half spoiler because nobody knows who is dead. They just, everyone knows that someone's dead. They don't know who because cliffhangers. Right off the top of the bat, I don't have a problem at all with this season finale. I don't. I thought it was pretty fantastic. Especially seeing Jeffrey Dean Morgan join the cast for the first time as Negan. And also, let me go on record and say that Stephen Ogg was absolutely fantastic in his role as well. I mean, sure, he's just playing Trevor, albeit a very, very, very tame Trevor from Grand Theft Auto 5, but he's still essentially playing Trevor. It was still awesome to see him. He did a fantastic job, I thought. Very underrated. No one's even mentioned him as far as I've seen. I mean, I'm sure people have mentioned him, but again, it's just as far as I've seen. Even Ogg, I thought, was fantastic. But obviously, everyone and everything is going to be overshadowed by number one. Who is it? Hashtag who is it? There goes the news. That's what I did. Get live. Anyways. Oh, man. No, stuff, things, words, everything's funny. Everything is funny. Everything is funny when you're tired as fuck. Everything is funny. Anyway. Stephen Ogg is obviously going to be overshadowed by number one, hashtag who is it, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Jeffrey Dean Morgan was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I obviously don't know much about the Negan character from the comics. I have read a lot of the comics. I've read up until, I think the last one that I read was when they arrived at Alexandria. And they were doing the interviews, much like they were in the show. I'm not positive on that, though. It seems kind of familiar. I left off somewhere around there because I didn't want to get too far ahead in the story as far as the show and stuff goes. But spoiler alert, maybe comic book spoiler alert, maybe show spoiler alert. The thing that happens when Negan first shows up in the comics is he kills Glenn. I don't know if it's in a fashion close to what resembled in the show or not. I don't know. But I know that he's the one that kills Glenn, and most likely it is Glenn that dies. It could be Daryl that dies. I it's good beef. Which personally, as much as I like him and stuff, kind of makes sense. He's almost outlived his usefulness in Walking Dead. Plus, he's got his own show now on AMC. Makes sense. Daryl's going to die. Although I will say this about Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Bruce Wayne would not be happy with his dad right now. You know, the very first thing that Thomas Wayne says to Martha is, "Don't you look like shit, fool at all." Bruce Wayne is totally upset about this. Stuff things, words, awesomeness, amazing. Yeah. Again, I thought it was good. I didn't have any problems with it. I loved Stephen Ogg and his role. Loved Jeffrey Dean Morgan's debut. Aside from the fact that Ben Affleck is pissed at him. He's pissed at him for treating his mother horribly. He's like, "Dad, why are you doing this? Martha and stuff. Martha! Martha, Martha, Martha!" Oh, my God. Stuff things was 760-539-3247. Or the Skype button if you've got thoughts, comments, concerns. Walking Dead. That's amazing. Awesome. Boom. Outside of those two things, Stephen Ogg and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, wasn't anything else much happening in the season finale, was there? And I'm pretty sure there wasn't. So, yeah. Stuff things were said. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week sometime. Next week, we'll see. Stuff things, words I am, of course, your humble drunkard from afar. My name is Ryan Harms. This has been my way. This has been Harms' way. Take care, everybody. And, of course, stay out of Harms' way. We'll see you next week.
From Amazon, number 1,772,434th best-selling author, comes his long-awaited, unabashed sequel. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read.
And the butchery begins.
With a brilliantly written foreword by Travis Bevan that is worth the price of purchase alone.
Now I have something I can work with.
For only $3.99, get the sequel to The Drunken Diaries. The Drunken Diaries, Volume 2. More drunken ramblings you won't read. Get it on your Kindle device today.
Yeah, bitch!
Master Wayne. Thermal imaging is showing me 24 hostiles on the third floor. Why don't I drop you off on the second?
Even you've got too old to die young.
Not for lack of trying. He has the power to wipe out the entire human race. If we believe there's even a 1% chance that he is our enemy, we have to take it as an absolute certainty.
The greatest gladiator match in the history of the world. God versus man. Day versus night.
You're psychotic.
That is a three-syllable word for any thought too big for little mind.
I know a few women like you.
Who
Oh, I don't think you've ever known a woman like me.
Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. Available exclusively on Kindle. For only $2.99. Wait, only $2.99?
You're goddamn right.
That's The Drunken Diaries, someone's drunken ramblings you don't want to read. On Kindle.
Buy it today.